Now from the KSFR newsroom, At Noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Wednesday, July 17th. U.S. Senators Tom Udall and Martin Heinrich have today jointly called on federal officials to investigate allegations that private, so-called debt relief companies have been using deceptive practices to profit from students seeking assistance in repaying their college loans. The senators say they're hearing of New Mexicans being lured by misleading ads while unaware that the federal government has free repayment programs. New Mexico has seen an increase in student loan borrowing as tuition rates have risen across the state. Former Albuquerque police officer Levi Chavez has been acquitted of first-degree murder charges in the 2007 shooting death of his wife. He had maintained his innocence, saying her death was a suicide. The case drew much attention statewide, with tales of extramarital affairs and evidence tampering by Albuquerque police. Jurors rendered their not guilty verdict after some 10 hours of deliberations that began Monday following weeks of testimony. Santa Fe's Public Safety Committee has endorsed that proposal that would allow attendees of ball games at Fort Marcy Park to consume beer throughout the concessions and seating area. It's currently restricted to a small fenced beer garden some have taken to calling a beer jail. Supporters say the less restricted access will still maintain accordance with state and local laws and regulations. The matter heads to the Public Works Committee at the end of this month and could arrive before full city council in September. If passed, it would be in place for the Fuego's 2014 baseball season. The New Mexico Environment Department has entered into a settlement agreement with the natural gas processing facility near Hobbs. The Occidental Permian Limited Partnership's facility there was charged with failure to fully report emissions from flaring events that exceeded permit limits for carbon monoxide, hydrogen sulfide, and other volatile organic compounds. Under the terms of the agreement, Occidental specifically denies violating any laws, but will pay a cash penalty of $95,000 to the State General Fund and will spend at least $825,000 to install additional controls to reduce emissions by 94%. Occidental anticipates their total cost of remediation will exceed $2 million. Governor Susana Martinez has announced that her administration is developing a statewide strategic veteran cemetery plan to establish cemeteries for New Mexico's rural area veterans. Many live far from the three federal cemeteries currently available to them at Santa Fe, Fort Bayard, and Fort Bliss. The VA has a strict mandate that a minimum of 100,000 veterans must live within a 75-mile radius of any proposed new national cemetery site. Roughly 131,000 of the state's 173,000 veterans live beyond that prescribed range. Now, the New Mexico Department of Veterans Services is drafting a plan for the development of three or four small, 3 to 5 acre cemeteries to serve rural veterans. Santa Fe County is touting Tusuki's Fire Station as an example of economic responsibility and environmental stewardship as it becomes fully sustained by solar power. The county is being joined by the Tusuki Valley Community Association and New Energy Economy in hosting a community barbecue at the station at the end of the month. The new 6.1 kilowatt solar system will allow all monies previously allocated for utility bills to instead go toward fire safety and protection. Next week, Santa Fe Community College begins new student orientation for the fall 2013 semester. The school says that students who participate in the orientation sessions have higher GPAs and higher cumulative credit hour attainment than those who do not. They are also more likely to commit to the following semester. Next Wednesday's July 24th day-long event also encourages attendance by students' parents and spouses. And weather for Santa Fe, partly sunny today, a high near 75, and a 50% chance for isolated afternoon and evening thundershowers. Overnight lows in the mid-50s. Temperatures warm closer to seasonal norms tomorrow, with a high of 80 expected, along with a 40% chance of precipitation. Meanwhile, the current Santa Fe temperature now 67 degrees. This is Dan Garrity for KSFR News. At Noon will continue in just a moment.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by PNM, who recently brought the Prosperity Energy Storage Project online. The project allows PNM to store solar energy, helping to provide consistent solar power even on cloudy days. This is the first solar storage plant integrated into the grid in the nation. If you have a question for PNM, you can talk to them on Twitter or Facebook, or visit PNM online at pnm.com.
And at noon here on KSFR, segues to today's feature stories. The Internet has become the dominant path for disseminating information to a wide number of people. Now, the New Mexico Department of Health is going to use the web to help get vital, potentially life-saving information to healthcare providers. Michael Landon is with the State Department of Health, and he joins us now. Michael, tell us about this new collaboration.
The Department of Health puts out messages regularly to healthcare providers about outbreaks, about medicine shortages, and things like that. We have several thousand people on that list. Through Medscape, we'll be able to reach additional healthcare providers by sending the same messages out to their network.
Just a few weeks ago, the state faced a public health issue, and the Department of Health used technology to disseminate information to critical parties, correct?
New Mexico is involved in a regional outbreak of hepatitis A associated with eating frozen mixed berries from a particular store. That outbreak, we needed to get the word out quickly to healthcare providers that if they had a patient with symptoms of hepatitis A, consider this possibility, and then we needed to vaccinate or provide immune globulin to those patients. So we sent that information out on our usual health alert network, which goes to several thousand healthcare providers. We didn't have the Medscape arrangement up and running at that time. If we had, we could have sent it out additionally to their network.
What other conditions will be most appropriate for the new site?
Every flu season, we have to get information out and to healthcare providers and the public. But for the healthcare provider messages, we want to let them know about the particular nature of the influenza virus for that year, what we're seeing, what the concerns are. So this will be very important for that. Additionally, for example, we have periodic pertussis or whooping cough outbreaks in the state. We like to target messages to local areas to communicate with healthcare providers about pertussis or whooping cough in their part of the state. So those sorts of things.
Do you have the option of targeting particular areas of the state for medical news releases?
With our regular health alert network, which we work with the Centers for Disease Control on, we can segment our distributions to a particular type of healthcare provider. We can send it to emergency management and send it to clinic administrators, hospital administrators, and we can also segment it geographically. We anticipate being able to do the same thing with the WebMD health alerts as well.
How is the service paid for?
The health alert network that we work on with CDC that's been in place for several years, that's not free, but we've had that in place for quite some time. The additional benefit that Medscape is providing us, the additional distribution, is free. Medscape is doing that.
Anything you'd like to add?
Just that we really appreciate the help from Medscape. They've worked with a number of states on this. New Mexico's one of the latest states to be added to their network, and we're looking forward to collaborating with them on this.
Michael Landon with the New Mexico Department of Health, many thanks for joining us here at noon. There's some good news on the real estate front here in Santa Fe. Joining us to talk about it now is Victoria Murphy, who is the president of the Santa Fe Association of Realtors. Victoria, tell us the good news.
We've risen up from 2012, 4.9% in our median price, and we've also did an increase in our home sales of 4.4% from 2012. So we have 191 homes compared to 183 in 2012. And the really great thing is while our home sales went down in Santa Fe County, they actually were up on a rise in El Dorado. And the median price there in El Dorado jumped significantly by 16%.
Why the improvement?
Well, we had all-time low on interest rates. We had very low inventory, so our days on market was extremely low. you know, in comparison to years past. And so what was happening is we had a lot of buyers that were understanding that if they wanted to purchase, they needed to do so now.
What do you think the outlook for the near future will be for Santa Fe home sales?
Well, what we're hearing is that we're going to that the interest rates are probably going to be stabilized through till the end of the year, that we're going to start seeing small bump ups in the interest rates, and they may continue to rise through 2014. And as far as the National Association of Realtors, from what we've heard from our economists there, is that they believe those interest rates will continue to rise through 2014 and into 2015, making home sales drop in 2016.
How is the construction industry doing?
Construction industry is great. We've had more land sales this last year, and we did have Reed Lemming from the City of Santa Fe addressing that and the amount of permits that have been issued.
Anything else you want to add?
Sellers, we need your homes. We have a low inventory, so sellers, please get your homes out there on the market, and we have the buyers for them.
Victoria Murphy from the Santa Fe Association of Realtors, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR. And we'll be back in just a moment.
The Lenzic Performing Arts Center proudly presents Fusion Theater Company's Kicking a Dead Horse, a play by Pulitzer Prize winner Sam Shepard, on Saturday, July 20th. Paul Blott stars as Hobart Strother, a New York art dealer who's forced to examine his life when he's stranded alone in a Southwest desert. For tickets to Kicking a Dead Horse at 2 and 8 p.m. on Saturday, July 20th at the Lenzic, call 988-1234 or visit ticketssantafe.org. The Lenzic is a nonprofit, member-supported organization.
Support comes from the Santa Fe Farmers Market, providing fresh, locally grown food to our community. The Farmers Market is now open every Saturday and Tuesday from 7 a.m. to noon in the rail yard. The Southside Market takes place on Tuesday afternoons from 3 to 6 at the Santa Fe Place Mall parking lot, Zafferano entrance. On Sundays from 10 to 4, the market hosts the Rail Yard Artisans Market, featuring fine arts and crafts, food, music, and more. To learn more, visit santafefarmersmarket.com.
Currently 66 degrees in Santa Fe at 17 minutes past the hour, and at noon continues. New Mexico's Rail Runner Express, the 97-mile-long commuter train running daily between Belen and Santa Fe, is holding a celebration today. Joining us now is the rail line's communications director, Augusta Myers. Augusta, just what is it that's being recognized today?
We are celebrating 7 years of having commuter rail through the central Rio Grande Valley, the New Mexico Railroad Express, and we're excited about it.
And it's said that since the inception of service in July 2006, it has carried some 7 million passengers. That's an impressive figure, is it not?
It certainly is, especially when you consider the fact that, you know, we live in an area that still needs to be educated somewhat on commuter rail. We have love affairs with our pickups at our wide open spaces, and so it's a little bit tough to get people to park the car and jump on the Rail Runner and see if that works for their weekly or daily commute.
This afternoon, two of the Rail Runner stations will be the scene of free pizza parties. That'll be happening at both the Sandoval County U.S. 550 Depot as well as the downtown Albuquerque station. Is that just for commuters, or can anyone grab a slice?
Oh, I think we welcome anybody to come down and celebrate the Rail Runner's 7th anniversary. So if somebody wants a piece of pizza and they want to celebrate 7 years of the Rail Runner being on the track, why not? Come on down. Now, I will warn you, it's while supplies last.
And though it's been 7 years since service started for some stations, others came along later, including the line's northern terminus here at the Santa Fe Depot. If memory serves, we here in the City Different are headed toward our 5th anniversary come December, yes?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Dan. For Santa Fe, the New Mexico Rail Runner Express has yet to reach its 5-year anniversary, which will happen, as you said, in December, because we completed phase one, which had limited service in the very beginning, and then it wasn't until December of 2008 that we added phase two, which was the track all the way to Santa Fe.
And will you be doing something special to commemorate that anniversary?
Absolutely. We so much appreciate our Santa Fe. You know, we talk a lot about people taking the Rail Runner to get from Albuquerque to Santa Fe. We don't talk about how useful it is for those who want to come down for appointments, different things that they need to do here in the Duke City, and we really appreciate our Santa Fe-based customers as well.
The Rail Runner was primarily fashioned to target commuters, decreasing the number of motorists on I-25 by offering alternative timely transportation during the peak morning and evening work travel times. But in light of our peak tourist season now underway, do you find that visitors avail themselves of the Rail Runner?
Well, it's interesting you ask that question because we just completed a little bit earlier this year a recent customer satisfaction survey, and we're finding that our tourism base is actually increasing on the Rail Runner. And that could be because we have a fairly robust Saturday service now, and people are just discovering the word is getting out. I hate to say it, but even 7 years into the project, it's still considered a startup because we haven't had every year, I think with the exception of last year, was the first year we haven't opened another station. So now we're getting a better picture of the cross-section of our riders, and it certainly is still the majority for commuters, but we're also noticing that our tourist and leisure-based travel customers, that group is definitely on the increase.
And in terms of overall operations, is the train financially stable at this point? Might we see future scheduling changes?
Well, you know, it's a supply and demand issue, and so we'd love to be able to add more service. One of the things that our customer satisfaction survey revealed was that people want more midday, they want more service overall, and that is, unfortunately, a bottom line, a money issue. But as far as our overall budget, now that we have federal funding that supports a fixed rail, which basically is what we have, you know, it's taken the monkey off the state's back in terms of having to contribute so much to the annual budget. And so I think we're fairly sustainable at this point, and that's a good place to be. Of course, if we add more riders and the service increases in popularity, we'll be able to add more routes and more stops.
And anything you'd like to add?
You know, the only thing I want to add, once again, is just stress that we really thank those who have tried the Rail Runner and they've enjoyed it now, whether they use it every day or a few times a week. Again, our customer satisfaction survey mentioned that or showed that we have that most of the people, like over 95%, feel safe on the train. They feel safe at the stations and the parking lots there. And so we're happy that, you know, the customers are registering their comments to us. And we just want to keep them happy and make sure that, you know, their needs are being met in a convenient and modern form of transportation that's an alternative to the car. So that's it.
New Mexico Rail Runner Communications Director Augusta Myers, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
Ebullient mezzo-soprano Susan Graham performs a title role of Jacques Offenbach's riotously funny The Grand Duchess of Gerolstein this summer at the Santa Fe Opera. All's fair in love and war games at the Gerolstein Military Academy, with its dashing uniformed cadets and apple-cheeked local sweethearts cheering them on, with the Academy's patroness, the Grand Duchess herself, in sexy pursuit. Far from being a lady of a certain age, this Grand Duchess is an amorous aristocrat with an eye for Fritz, her favorite young cadet, sung by the dynamic American tenor Paul Appleby. Soprano Anya Matanovic completes the love triangle. Emmanuel Viom conducts. The Santa Fe Opera's Grand Duchess of Gerolstein promises lots of laughter and fun. Learn more about this production and the entire upcoming season by visiting santafeopera.com or by calling 800-280-4654. That's 800-280-4654. This message is sponsored by the Santa Fe Opera, a tax-exempt organization.
24 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. New Mexico gets more direct sunlight than many parts of the nation. Usually a good thing, there are some problems that arise from all the abundant sunshine. KSFR News reporter Charles Maynard joins us now, and he files this report.
One of the major assets of living in New Mexico is the abundance of sunshine. While that's great for outdoor recreation and some forms of alternate energy, it presents a major health problem, skin cancer. Dr. Marion Berwick is a professor at the University of New Mexico Medical School and is researching the worst kind of skin cancer, melanoma.
We've been doing a really interesting international study for the last 20 years, and what we're trying to find out is more about the cause and prevention of melanoma, but more importantly, what is important in surviving melanoma and helping people to survive. About 70% of melanomas will never do anything. They will certainly not cause you to die from melanoma. But there are some that, once they get going, are really, really bad, and there's almost nothing we can do about it. Although there is hope, we're developing new treatments now in 2013 that seem to be able to work. We know that intense intermittent sunshine, the kind you get on the weekend when you go out boating after being working indoors all day, that is one of the kinds of sun exposure that leads to the development of melanoma. But further, we've been looking at survival with melanoma, and we find that people who have two melanomas or more are not at any poorer survival than people with only one melanoma. So that should make some people feel better if they've had more than one melanoma. The rate in New Mexico is one of the three highest in the nation, and it's 30 per 100,000. And that's among non-Hispanic whites. Hispanics get very, very low rates of melanoma, but non-Hispanic whites, Caucasians, have a very high rate.
As with other cancers, early recognition is the key.
Everybody should pay attention to their skin. Are there any changes? Especially as we get older, we get different kinds of marks on our skin. Some are very, very normal, but some are growing lesions, either some sort of skin cancer. And if you suspect that you have a mark that is growing, then it would be really important to see a dermatologist. And they may take a biopsy, and then you will have a definitive answer. But the earlier we get it, the better we will do.
Treatment is available for melanoma.
There are two different kinds of treatments. One is focused on targeted to the mutation of your melanoma, and we only know about BRAF-positive melanomas, which are possibly about 40% of melanomas, and we're working very hard on the others to find out what genes have been switched on or off and how we can work with those. The other treatment is an immune treatment, and so there are two new drugs. One is called ipilimumab, and it seems to help somewhat. The second drug is anti-PD-1, and that seems to have great promise for some people. What we need to find out is which people will it really work on and use it in that way.
Dr. Marion Berwick from the University of New Mexico Medical School.
Be very aware of your skin, and if you see something changing, I think it's really important to have it checked.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
And taking a look at Wall Street now at midday, all the major indices are in positive territory. The Dow is up 15 points at 15,467, the NASDAQ up 10 at 3,608, and the S&P 500 up 5 points. It stands at 1,681. 1228 here at KSFR. As we approach the bottom of the hour, it is our custom to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
Throughout the years, there has been only one ex-girlfriend that I've stayed in touch with, and it took quite a bit of time to reach that point. Before I proceed, I should probably clarify a minor point. By only one ex-girlfriend, I'm not counting the lady I owned a house with. We kind of communicate via Facebook, and then there was the 18-year-old actress I was kind of dating in my 30s. She was emotionally mature for her age. She moved to New York City and joined a glam band. We stay in touch through Facebook, and, well, okay. I have a really good friend with whom I talk a lot, and a long time ago we crossed a line a few times. But other than those exceptions, back to the only ex-girlfriend that I have stayed in touch with. I had a long conversation with her the other evening, and she wants to come visit me in Santa Fe from Miami. Am I excited about an ex-girlfriend coming to visit? Ask me after she leaves. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk. Many thanks to my contributing colleague today, Charles Maynard. And we'll be back with more news of and for New Mexico for you tomorrow. And as always, we hope you join us.